The title of today's message is Authentic Relationships. But before we begin, let us pray. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Father God, you're so good to us. We thank you for this opportunity to be drawn closer to you. Open our hearts and minds, Lord, to receive what it is you have in store for us today. We love you, Father. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. A couple of Saturdays ago this past March, I had a taste for barbecue from the local spot up the street from the church. Man, their Polish boys are absolutely delicious. Oh yeah, and I had two rib bones with sauce I added on the side. But anyway, after I pick up my order, I decide to take the scenic route. Any event, after I picked up my food, I decided to take the scenic route home instead of getting on the expressway, which is my norm. All right, so I'm driving down East 123rd over there, and this female mail carrier flags down my car by stepping in front of it. And I come to a stop, and I look at her, and I thought, oh my, she begins to grab on the door handle of the passenger side of my car. So before I hit the unlock button, I decide to do a quick assessment. So I look around, and I see this huge black dog running towards my car, full speed, mind you. I see her mail truck, and I see two children, but for some reason, the dog is not interested in them. And so then, usually, the Holy Spirit will alarm me if something's wrong. I didn't get any alarm. So I hit the unlock button to my car, and I grabbed my purse, and I grabbed my food. She was not going to sit on my food. Absolutely not. So she gets into my car, and then she says, before I can say anything, oh, thank you. She says, oh, thank you, thank you. She says, I don't play with no dogs. Then she steps halfway out of my car, and she looks at the two children over there, and she says, little girl, get your dog. Little girl, get your dog. And she just keeps repeating this. So in the meantime, there's a police car that just happens to pull up, and it comes to a stop right across from us. And the police officer is just, there's two of them, they're just sitting there looking at us. And so the mail carrier says, hey, I'm about to get in a car with this stranger. This dog's trying to attack me. I'm about to get in a car with the stranger. I don't even know this lady. So I'm just looking at her. The police officers are sitting there. They look at the dog, they look at the mail carrier, and then they look at me. But they do not intervene. As a matter of fact, they seem to be a little amused. Bad, bad, bad. They were just sitting there smiling. So then, praise God, the dog eventually loses interest and starts to go up the street. So the mail carrier, she reaches in, she says, oh, thank you again. Shuts the door, walks in front of my car, and then she's waving and smiling at the officers as she's headed towards her truck. But oh no, the dog spots her again, turns around, and he's chasing her again, and she just made it, y'all, just made it to the truck just in time. And then the police officers, they pull up alongside me, and they just stop, and they look over at me, and I look at them, and I just throw up my hands, and I just drive off. Now, would you say that the mail carrier and I had an authentic relationship? Would you say that? No, we didn't have an authentic relationship. Not at all. I didn't know this lady. I'd never seen her before. Chances are very good that we would probably never see each other again anyways. Now I want you to look at your neighbor on your left and right really quick and say, good morning, praise the Lord. Do you have an authentic relationship with your neighbor? Chances are you said yes if you rode in the car with the person this morning. But if you didn't ride in the car with the person this morning, you're probably thinking no. And then some of you are probably thinking, what does Felicia mean by authentic? Well, definition of authentic. One definition is of undisputed origin, genuine. Another definition of authentic means not false, imitation, but real. And still others would say authentic is the real McCoy. It's the real deal. Today, we're going to take a closer look at how God would have us to view our relationships with one another. God, our loving creator, created us for us. He created us to have purposeful, connected relationships with Him and with one another. It is His desire to help us to enjoy these relationships, to embrace them and all of the wonderful things that they have to offer. These relationships are essential to living well. They help us to stay healthy, mentally, physically, emotionally, but most of all, spiritually. I believe God's desire is for us to be whole, and His desire is to put people in your life and mine to help us to fulfill these areas. If the people are not there for you, I would encourage you and even challenge you to ask God to put people into your life to shape you, to mold you into becoming more like Christ. As we read earlier, thank you, Andrea, in our Old Testament passage, the Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, Proverbs 27:17. This sharpening helps to bring out the best qualities in each other so that we can stand united against the devil and all his schemes. I have found that a good friend is not someone who necessarily agrees with everything I do and say, but it's someone who lovingly challenges me to be a better person. We grow in maturity when we can test our thoughts and our ideas against another person and when we're open to correction when we're wrong. Heard a story. There was a man who went to a fast food place and ordered a couple of chicken dinners. Somehow the person who waited on him grabbed the wrong bag, and when the guy got to his picnic and pulled out his dinners, he found $800 in the bottom of the bag. He drove back to the restaurant to return the money. The manager was so appreciative of the man's honesty, he said, "Oh, let me call the police. I like for them to take a picture of you and your wife so that they know what an honest couple looks like." The man quickly refused, and he leaned close to the manager to whisper, "You don't want to do that. This woman is married to somebody else. She's not my wife." Oh my. Honesty and trustworthiness are part of being authentic. A truly honest man would have been just as concerned about stealing the affections of another man's wife as he was about taking the money. Amen? But before we judge his hypocrisy too harshly, let's look at ourselves. We all, to one degree or another, that kind of mixture of right and wrong, aren't we? Would you want a camera crew to follow you around every day, all day? Despite my best intentions, there will be a few moments that I would prefer to be kept private, because my gap between my ideals as a Christian and my thoughts, not so much my actions, would be apparent. That said, I aspire to authenticity in Christ, to being real, living the kind of life that doesn't need any cover, that doesn't need any excuses. How about you? Think about that for a minute. Think about your current relationships. Want a solution to guarantee to instantly improve your relationships? Do you? Ready? Here it is. Be trustworthy. Those simple white lies, bold black ones, whatever the color, appear as if they can get us out of loads of trouble, but not so. Every time you tell a lie, you damage trust. Trust should be at the foundation of all of our relationships. Without trust, authentic relationships cannot exist. I'm sure that everyone in here can recall a time where you were lied to or misled. Show of hands. Amen. I'm also sure that everyone can recall a time when you were lying and purposely misleading someone. Show of hands. Honest hands. Praise God. Well, what's the end result of being trustworthy, of not being trustworthy and honest? You end up with superficial relationships like with some of those Facebook buddies. Just as Pastor Rick mentioned a couple of Sundays ago, even though you have tons of Facebook friends, chances are likely that you're not in a deep, meaningful relationship with all of those that you have friended. I believe this to be true. Being trustworthy and honest won't be easy for you, especially if you've been telling a lot of lies and putting on pretenses to pretend that you're something that you're really not. Now, not to beat up Facebook or anything, but I can only imagine how many people claim this, that, and the other just to appear as though their life is perfect when it really isn't. I imagine that there are many who hide behind masks and do not share the truth for fear of being rejected, hurt, or disapproved of. Can I make a suggested group to friend where you can be the real you and be encouraged? Can anyone take a guess? Life sharing, pioneers, ding, ding, ding. Better yet, we have quite a few other groups at Glenville where it's safe to be the sinner that we are in hopes of changing and becoming more like Jesus. So the next time you're about to visit your favorite friend site, why not click the church's website, glenvillenewlife.com, and check out a host of other groups that you can join and grow in Jesus. Amen? You don't have to worry about what the others in the group are thinking about your issues, because we're all learning and growing, trying to become more like Jesus. Also, changing to become more honest about yourself may be a little uncomfortable. Do it anyway. Ask Jesus to help you with it, and he will. In our complex world, finding a person who is the same at home, at work, and at church is rare. I have told my students at school that this is true for me. I told them I may be in different clothing, or my hairstyle may be a little different if you just happen to come by, but I try to be the same and pleasing to Jesus at all times. Are you the same? Think about that for a minute. At home, at work, at church, at the store, are you the same? Why? Why not? In our New Testament scripture reading earlier of Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 8 and 16 through 18, it could all be summed up this way. Be especially careful when you're trying to be good so that you don't make a performance out of it. A number one criticism of Christians, fairly and unfairly, involves hypocrisy, the very opposite of authenticity. This results when we fail to live up with what we profess and won't admit it. I don't think most people expect Christians to live without mistakes or inconsistencies. We are, after all, working out the implications of what we're taught by Jesus all the time. The accusation of hypocrisy arises when our pride stops us from admitting our sins and our mistakes. Friends, if you want the value and trust that comes from authenticity, then when what we say is unmatched by the reality of our day-to-day actions, we must admit our inconsistency and commit ourselves to closing the gap in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's look at this perhaps the way that Jesus might. We guard our sexual purity. We wouldn't think of robbing a bank. We guard our speech against profanity. But at the same time, we are so often so little concerned with compassion and care for others. Ouch. Have you ever noticed in the Gospels, Jesus didn't spend a lot of time talking about the church? Only Matthew records him even using the word, and even then, only twice. Why didn't he talk more about how to organize a church, run its ministries, or plan its services? I believe Jesus didn't talk about it too much because he was involved living it. He became a friend to Zacchaeus, James, John, Peter, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, Nicodemus, a rejected woman at the well who remained nameless, and countless others who came into his proximity. Look at the ways he engaged them, built relationships with them, centered around his Father's love, and served them with no thought for himself. Jesus says, "I no longer call you servants, I have called you friends." John 15:15. Jesus identified the nature of the relationship God has always desired with those he created. Intimate, authentic relationships. At the end of Jesus' ministry, all he needed to do was tell his followers to go and treat others the way that he had treated them. They knew exactly what he was talking about, for they had watched him. One can see the wonderful fruit of that in the earliest stages in the life of the church. Followers of Jesus are not focused on tradition or growth strategies, but on the pure, simple, God-centered relationships, both with believers and those still trapped in the world. Would Jesus be able to tell that you know his love and friendship by the way that you treat others? Friends, again, an authentic Christian is a work in progress, always learning, always responding as the Lord leads him or her into a deeper place of devotion. It's intensely personal. We are all a work in progress. Amen? I believe that one thing that has limited the influence that Christians have had on the world is that many who claim to follow Christ are not authentic. An inconsistent lifestyle repels people from the church. I cannot tell you how many times I have heard someone share that they know someone who says they're a Christian, but their life is not pure. It literally destroys the witness of Christ when believers do not live out their faith. We may be the only Bible that someone reads. So, how authentic is your walk? Are the people around you drawn to the faith by your life? Do people who cross your path recognize that there is something different about the way you live? In the letter of the Galatians, Paul informs us that what the life looks like for when the Holy Spirit is active. He says, you will be filled with love. You will be filled with joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Do the people you work with, your family members, your neighbors, and your friends see the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Are you the real deal? Or is there so much impurity mixed in with your faith that it's not good for anything? The key is being authentic. The key is being real, not trying to appear perfect. Nobody likes a phony. And if you think you're fooling everybody, then the only person that you're fooling is yourself. And rest assured, you're not fooling God. If you want people to think that you never struggle, that sin is only a distant memory in your life, then you're not authentic. You're just wearing a mask. Jesus calls us to influence the world towards godliness. To do it, we must be authentic. We must have faith in him that changes us inside out. You will be able to influence people for Christ if they can see that Christ has made a difference in you. Christians are to be the good news before they share the good news. Let's say that again. Christians are to be the good news before they share the good news. Amen. Here's a parable that I think that fits in with our topic today. A traveler nearing a great city asked an old man seated by the road, "What are the people like in this city?" "Well, what were they like where you came from?" asked the old man. "Horrible," the traveler responded in disgust. "Mean, untrustworthy, detestable in all respects." "Ah," said the old man. He thought carefully, "you'll probably find them the same in this city as well." A few hours later, another traveler passed by and asked the old man the same question. "What were they like where you came from?" he similarly asked. "Oh, these people were fine, honest, industrious, generous, caring. I was sorry to leave," the traveler responded. "You'll find them the same here," the old man replied. There's something interesting about that simple parable. Sometimes your thoughts, beliefs, and expectations help to shape your focus, what attracts you negatively and positively. A change in location doesn't change your disposition. Some people think that other people are the problem. You know, "Oh, if I could just move here and then everything will be better." Not necessarily. Why? Because you go wherever you go. You can't leave yourself. Now, how many of you are willing to admit that sometimes it's me? All right, let's just say it. Lord, sometimes it's me. Help us, Lord. Let me illustrate this reality this way. I heard of a woman trying to entertain her young son. She was trying to think of an ingenious way to keep him busy. In a magazine, she saw a full-page picture of a map, and she knew that her son was interested in geography. So she took out a pair of scissors, cut the map into numerous pieces, making a puzzle. She gave it to her son, figuring that it would take him a long time to get it done. 5 minutes later, her son was back. I'm finished. How did you do that so quickly? She wondered in amazement. Oh, it was easy, said her son. On one other side was a picture of a man. I figured if I got the man right, then the world would be right. Friends, ask Jesus to help you get yourself right, and your world will be right. Yes, we as believers know. Bad things are going to happen. Loss is going to happen. Death is going to happen. But how we respond to it and view it will be different when we're in Christ Jesus. If you want authentic, meaningful relationships with others, look no further than yourself. Become authentic in Jesus. Last Sunday, Pastor Toby preached a powerful message on the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He led by example how we are to live, love, and to relate to one another. We're going to close this message together with commands from Jesus with respect to each other. And I need for you to say one another when I pause. Love, John 13:34. Forgiving, Ephesians 4:32. Accepting, Romans 15:7. Bearing with one another. Colossians 3:13. Honoring above ourselves. Romans 12:10. Greeting 2 Corinthians 13:12. Being hospitable to 1 Peter 4:9. Being kind and compassionate to Ephesians 4:32. Sharing with Hebrews 13:16. Serving Galatians 5:13. Caring Burden Galatians 6:2. Building up 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Encouraging Daily Amen Hebrews 3:13. Comforting, 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Instructing, Romans 15:14. Admonishing, Colossians 3:16. Praying for, James 5:16. And confessing your sins to, James 5:16. Today, do you consider yourself a friend of Jesus? Do you know the love and friendship of Jesus in such a way that you desire to share it with others? One of our praise songs that the second service is going to sing is I Am a Friend of God. The chorus goes a little like this. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Would Jesus consider you his friend today? Do you consider Jesus your friend today? Let us love one another as Christ has loved us. Amen. Lord, you are a friend like no other. We love you. We need you. We thank you for loving us, for showing us how to love each other. We thank you for the good work that you have begun in each of us. We thank you for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We just ask that when we leave this place today, Lord Jesus, that we would be drawn closer to you, and that we would remember, Lord, that we're a reflection of you, and that we would show your love to others. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who's with us in this journey. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.